Hello, everyone. Today is Wednesday, November the 8th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You guys can help us keep the conversation going forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good review on Spotify or iTunes. I'm having so much trouble saying that this week. Spotify, iTunes. Absolutely nothing less than
Basically,
5 stars.
What we're trying to tell you is if you're listening on anything other than the radio, you can leave a review there, and we want you to do it.
Yeah,
leave a 5-star review.
Not only can you, not only we want you to, you must.
You will.
I will come to your house. And I will.
No, 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 no. We're not. Remember, we talked about
this. I'm not. That's right. That's right. Sorry about that. We're going to leave a link in the description so you can do just that. And today's verse of the day is coming to you from Proverbs 16:19. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
At the root of everything that we struggle with is pride.
Oh, yeah.
Every single sin. Name one, pick one out of the book. And that at its core is pride.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, sin is looking at God and saying, I know better.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you've said in your word, but I know what's best for me in this situation.
Yeah.
So Solomon's words here in Proverbs, I mean, it's a reminder to both the person he was writing to and to us that we need to check our pride.
Right.
It's much better. It's much more preferable in God's kingdom, in God's economy, to be humble, to be lowly. Not weak. That's not what those words mean. Not wimpy and kind of over in the corner, but to be humble and to put others in front of yourself, because that's the picture that Christ painted for us.
Even if it means that it doesn't reach the level of success that you desire for your life. It says better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly. It's better for you to be, I don't want to say unsuccessful, but it's better for you not to achieve your earthly goals than to do it and to get rich and gain the whole world and lose your soul in the process and divide the spoil with the proud.
Yeah. Right.
Just words to live by. Yesterday's intro, we got a little heated.
Yeah.
We were so hot, in fact, that it started to smell like garlic and butter.
Just and coming sauce. Out of the pores.
It was permeating the whole studio, and our bad attitudes were permeating the studio as well. We were livid, I would say.
Yeah.
You were livid.
I was livid. And I was cooking.
And David was kind of livid as well. We lauded out a staff member.
Yes.
But I figured we could put a face with the name and have him on the show today. Jackson.
Yes.
You stand accused of bringing stinky Domino's into the office and leaving it.
Yes. And rest assured that we're going to give you the opportunity to defend yourself, but you will be found guilty.
If you do not answer according to how we see fit, we will burn you at the stake.
This is the living tribunal.
People, we're not going to threaten bodily harm on the Clearview Today show. We cannot do that. We're not going to do that. But tread lightly.
Yeah, so
okay.
What? I don't even know what to ask to get to the bottom of this.
Just why?
Well, leaving the Domino's in the office leaves a just presence of a good past day. Like, you walk in, you smell, I had a good day yesterday.
We had a good lunch.
We had a good lunch yesterday.
I'm not switching sides, but he's got a point.
I don't know if I can say this or not, but I think I'm starting to agree with Jackson.
This is unbelievable. This is, all right, my next gripe is turncoats in the Clearview Today show staff.
Why it was there? Was
because y'all
everybody was partaking.
Adam does this too, by the way. We're coming down hard on Jackson, but Adam certainly participates in the Domino's challenge.
I've seen Adam leave like cans of Coke, like on his desk, like several cans of Coke on his desk.
That's not the only place he's left them. That's not the only place he's left them.
Where else does he leave them? Do you see Adam drinking?
That's maybe another gripe.
Yeah, we're coming down.
That's another gripe.
We're interrogating the heck out of Jackson, but he also.
We've uncovered a larger problem.
My coworker participates.
We've uncovered a larger problem. We're going to have to reevaluate this.
That corner of the room is not just me.
We have a culture. We have a culture here of leaving like food and drinks on desks.
Before Jackson was on staff, Jackson is our, for those of y'all who don't know, Jackson is on staff here at Clearview, and he's one of our drummers on the worship team. And before he was on staff, I actually was in the back hallway one time, and I was rushing, and I kicked a can of Baja Blast. And it just went all over the carpet and all over the walls. And I didn't even have to think. I just instantly knew it was Jackson. He had left it. He had just left food. Yeah. They leave food and they leave drink.
Yeah.
And that's
It's like
it's got to change.
It's like squirrels that hide their harvest of like acorns and stuff, and they forget where they put it. So they hide more. Like you go into a room and there's like three soda cans and two slices of Domino's. Then you go in another room, there's like half a pizza of Domino's and one soda can. It's like they forgot that there was a little cache for them there, and they just made another one.
If this was a frat house, I would have no complaints. But it's a church.
But this is not.
And women also work here.
Correct.
They're very turned off by that.
I've never seen Melissa complain about it, though.
That's because
she doesn't
nice.
Complain to your face.
Melissa
she's
left nice. A whole cake in the office yesterday.
That's true. Maybe we just are a dysfunctional team.
Oh, Adam's drawer beside his desk, there's two pieces of cake from when Melissa's...
In his drawer?
Yes!
You're lying.
It is. If you pull his drawer out, there are like two pieces of cake.
I'm gonna...
This is unbelievable
Jackson,
to me.
I'm going to film this. Lead me. And this is a long intro. I'm filming on my phone now. Lead me to the cake.
Okay.
Prove to me that he has cake in his... I'm gonna come right back.
This is unreal.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know what's happening.
This is kind of crazy. I'm gonna
welcome
cut.
To the Clearview Today Show, where intros are made up and the timing doesn't matter.
I'm gonna cut this for Tom.
Like, this is unreal.
I'm gonna cut like this part. So right now I'm cutting. All right, we're back.
He's 100% right. There's cake in the drawer.
This is incredible.
There's cake in the drawer,
and not in a good way.
It's in a little container, and it's got Saran wrap on it. But there's cake in the desk drawer.
And I have reason to believe that it has shrunk over time because he has not eaten any, and it has gotten significantly smaller.
We have to wrap. We have to wrap this intro.
Help me, someone. Text in and help. I feel like I'm alone.
Do
and
other
I'm
churches function
spiraling
like this?
At
Do
this
other
point.
Churches
Forget churches.
Like, this.
Like, just talk about your family. Like, is this normal? Am I the abnormal one? I feel just alone here. Someone write in and help me. 252-582-5028. Please let me know that I'm not alone in this. And just get onto these guys. Help me, because it's obviously not working when I say it. So you write in and just kind of chastise these guys. Love you guys, but this has got to stop.
This
culture has got to change.
We got to bring Dr. Shaw in. This is getting out of hand.
This is unbelievable. Visit us online at theclearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey, everyone. My name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview Today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today Show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shaw, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and after one of the most compelling intros that we've ever done here on
some bold word choice.
Very, very compelling. It was, things got real. Would you say things got
Things got real out of hand.
And we, that's true. But we are back here in the studio with Dr. Abadan Shaw today. Dr. Shaw, as you know, is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and he's the host of today's show. Dr. Shaw, could I offer you a piece of cake?
Don't you do it.
I'd like to give you a piece of cake just to...
Do not take that cake.
...show that I appreciate you. And
I'm conflicted now. I don't know what to believe. Should I? Should I not?
If you offer...
I have two pieces of cake that have your name on it.
If you offer him... pieces of cake that you found in a desk drawer.
Oh my.
I'm going to make the executive decision to you'll take a hiatus from the show.
Just a paid sabbatical, if you will?
We'll discuss the details.
can I offer you some Domino's pizzas?
And now I'm curious. What is the deal with the cake?
So there may or may not, and by may or may not, I mean there definitely was, two pieces of cake discovered in a drawer in someone's desk.
Here?
In the office.
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, my word.
And yes. It was not mine, and it was not John's, and it did not belong to anybody in this room.
Now, in the break.
Okay, so I'm thinking, Melissa?
No.
Not Melissa. No. Jackson?
Closer,
You're
but
getting
no.
close.
There's only one person
only
left.
One yes, person left.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, that boy.
So
yes. Did he really do that?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my.
He really did.
Was there a between? So we take breaks. After the intro, we'll do a lunch break. And in the break. Was there a conversation?
Yes.
Was it pleasant?
No.
I didn't do it. Ryan administered the conversation.
It was.
How do you tell an employee, how do you tell someone you can't leave cake in your desk drawer?
I use those words. You can't leave cake in your desk drawer. The end.
For how long?
This was more than a month. It was getting close to two.
Oh my goodness.
That's insane. It was wrapped.
Oh my goodness.
It was wrapped.
Yeah, but still.
What can I say?
It was not great.
Sometimes in ministry, man, you just can't make up the stuff that happens. You just can't make it up.
So
a lot of people think we just come up with all this goofy stuff on the Clearview Today show, but man, it happens.
That it's scripted, that it's just kind of made up.
Oh, the ancient cake. Do you think we might find the bread from the Last Supper, maybe?
It might be in another desk drawer okay. of that same person.
Man,
we'll have to look
live
through.
On bread alone.
But we're sure going to stockpile like we can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any manna, maybe?
No. Could be.
Okay.
Could be. Just we'll check. Have to check and see. I don't know.
Funny.
I do not love people leaving food in the office, but you know what I do love?
What's that?
I love Broadway.
You're a theater man. You're
I am
a theater guy.
Yes, he is.
I
Ryan is a theater man.
Love theater. And this is crazy because I didn't ever know this about myself. Like growing up, it wasn't like we watched a bunch of like plays and musicals or anything like that. But then when I switched schools in between my sophomore and junior year, the school that I went to had a pretty robust like theater and drama program. And that's when I really got into it. I was like, I can get into this.
Dr. Shaw,
cool.
You were head boy.
Yes.
You were very studious and into your academics and into your grades. I was super into like band and like marching band, symphonic band and music. You were a theater.
Yeah. Yeah. But Dr. You did theater as well.
Yeah, I did. I did. I did a lot of, I did.
I do.
I did some Charles Dickens.
Yes.
Very nice.
David Copperfield. I've done Tale of Two Cities. I played a double role of Charles Darnay and Sidney Carton.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was the double, best of times. It was the worst of times.
Yeah. That's awesome. Did a double role. And I still have pictures of them. Maybe we can show them sometime.
Yeah.
That
let's
would
do
be
it.
Awesome.
We can maybe drop them in this episode if we can find them.
Yeah. Of course.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. But we're talking today about a Broadway play, not a musical, but a play that still holds the title of the longest running non-musical play on Broadway.
To this day. Mm.
To this day.
The record. Wow.
To this day. It first debuted on Broadway in
1939.
Wow.
And it still holds that title.
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. Still to this day.
Debuted in 1939.
It was written or compiled by 1935 by Clarence Day, one of my favorite authors. Mm-hmm. And I happened upon this book sort of by chance, you know, fortuitously. Mm-hmm. And you'll find it interesting, the story of how I found this book. Mm-hmm. So every Christmas growing up, you know, what is the smell of Christmas? Everybody has their smell. Some people think it's the smell of the pine trees, you know, Christmas trees or whatever. Some people think of pumpkin pie or
ham in the oven.
Yeah. For me, it was paint.
Ooh.
Paint.
That's unusual.
Paint. Because every Christmas, right before Christmas, like 2 weeks before Christmas, we would have the entire church, the inside of the church painted.
Okay.
Sometimes the outside. And even our house inside would be painted every year. That was just something we did. Because growing up in India, the roads are dusty. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're dirt roads. They're just dusty. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
So the summers are hot and the monsoons are really wet, but then it gets dusty when everything dries up. So it's important. Not everybody does it in India, but my dad did that for us. And for our church and for our home, that he would have everything painted inside, outside, inside the home. And so when this would begin maybe the end of November, first week in December, usually end of November. A lot of your household items would have to be brought outside.
Mm-hmm.
So like the cabinets, you know, the cedar chest, whatever, would be brought outside so that the painters can move around freely and paint the house.
Right, right.
So also in the my dad's library that was in the vestry of the church,
mm-hmm.
They would take everything outside in the yard next to the church building, because mm-hmm. we lived literally 10 feet from the church.
Wow.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, you can just touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would cover it up in tarps and whatever. So as the painters are painting, and you know, they'll bring everything back in. So all these things were brought outside. I remember this very distinctly. And a lot of books that would fall behind the bookshelf, or they would slip back here, slip back there. All those were brought outside. And I was walking into the yard and saw the painter setting up the scaffolding and setting up the ladders. I saw... not this particular book, but because this is a compilation,
mm-hmm.
but I saw the Life with Father mm-hmm. by Clarence Day. And I was probably about 7 to 8 years of age, mm-hmm. very young. And I'm like, Life with Father. And it was not this thick. It was probably about this thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to read this. So I took it, and I remember very distinctly took it, and there was a tree by the side of the church. There was a wall there, still there. I went and sat under that tree and I started reading it. And it was probably about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and I did not get up from that spot until like 12, 12:30.
Aren't those the best wow. days?
Yeah.
Those are like some of the best days of childhood.
Yeah, yeah. Just lose yourself getting in the story.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm sitting there reading this book, smelling that paint and the nice sunny day, and I was hooked. On reading.
Yeah.
Not just hooked.
It's crazy how days like that and memories like that will stick with you for life.
Mm-hmm. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Or maybe like last month at the most.
That's incredible.
And I sat there and it was chapter after chapter, and I thought it was the funniest book ever. and if those of you who may not know, it is based on Clarence Day's father.
Mm-hmm.
And it's set in the 1890s. So think about 1890s. This is the era of big corporations sort of mm-hmm. falling apart. And then the turn of the century, a lot of Victorian homes are sitting there empty.
Mm-hmm.
Wall Street is overburdened mm-hmm. by financial crisis after crisis. You know, in the 1880s, I believe there was a crisis,
mm-hmm.
run on the bank and all that. So it's a story about this family and their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad is sort of overburdened, overstressed, just particular about his what right. he wants, how he wants things to be.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was sort of like that, not completely, but sort of like that. So I saw parallels, and I remember my dad standing over there talking to the painters as to where they need to be painting and what they need to patch up and all that. And I was like, this is a little bit like my dad.
Some of the best stories you ever read, you do draw those parallels.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
Know, you find the humanity in those stories. And I know I've said this on the podcast, but that's why I think you're such a skilled preacher, is that you do that. What Clarence Day did with his father, and you drawing that parallel to your dad, you have a knack of doing that with biblical figures and biblical characters, like drawing out humanity in those figures.
Yeah, not just to go tit for tat, I mean, but you guys do that. You do it when you're on the stage, Ryan, so phenomenal in that. And John, you do it when you write. I mean, I see the same things coming out. Wow. So thank y'all for it.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we should say we're talking about this because on November 8th, this is the day that it actually aired.
This is the day
that it premiered on
opening
Broadway.
Opening night, as they say.
Yes, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the stories are just hilarious, where the family just sort of goes, dad's having his moment. He's upset about something. He's upset about the milkman not bringing the milk. He's upset about the cook quitting on them. He's upset about the pastor coming and fussing at him about not being in church. I mean, he's just something. And then the father just has his, he lets them have it, or he's whatever. And instead of becoming like in today's world, you do that, you're going to get canceled.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're getting canceled on the spot.
Yeah.
You can't even show any annoyance.
Right. Because you're like domineering, male chauvinistic, such an unaware person.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
To the contrary, he becomes more and more beloved to the whole family. They
really?
Just love him. They're just like, dad's having his thing.
Okay.
And then
dad
sort of calms down and he realizes, wow, I messed up there. He'll apologize. Mm-hmm. He apologizes his own way. And that makes it even more special.
Yeah.
I think something that is interesting about that is that they see through his anger or through his getting upset what he values and what he cares about.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? And it speaks volumes for the Christian life because Christian fathers do, or at least are called to set the tone, the spiritual
right.
tone
yeah,
for that right. household.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
And again, I wouldn't recommend be like that person, right. be like that father, but there is some humanity in there that you can learn from and go, I get what is happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't understand that and you just dismiss that person as, well, whatever, you don't get me or whatever. And that's the world in which we live today.
Right.
And I want to be sensitive to that world, but at the same time, I'm telling that world, you're missing out.
Right.
You're missing out on a certain way of living that if you don't get it back, there'll be huge gaps in your life.
That's right.
Because you are the authority. You are the father figure for yourself.
That's right.
That's right.
And imagine being your own father.
Mm. Can't do it. Can't do it.
So there's a section that maybe we'll get Ryan to read it for
us.
I remember this because I've read this book several times. Through the years growing up, and then I haven't read it in a long time. Like you're talking about 20, 25 years.
Oh, wow.
Looked at it bits and portions. You have Black and White. It was a TV show for a while as well. So maybe you have time.
Yeah, let's
maybe
do it. Let's make this like an Audible segment.
Okay. Yeah. All right, here we go. So this is coming from Life with Father. Let me put on my theater voice
here
for a second.
We are not sponsored by Audible.
We are not sponsored by Audible.
We should be, but we're not.
Yeah. Audible, if you would like, you're interested, let us know. So this section is called Father Thumps on the Floor. Old Margaret was just the kind of cook that we wanted. Lots of cooks can do rich dishes well. Margaret couldn't. But she cooked simple, everyday dishes in a way that made our mouths water. Her apple pies were the most satisfying pies I've ever tasted. Her warmed up potatoes were so delicious, I could have made my whole dinner of them. Yet even Margaret sometimes miscalculated.
Uh-oh.
A large, royal-looking steak would be set before Father, which, upon being cut into, would turn out to be too underdone. Father's face would darken with disappointment. If the earth had begun to wobble and reel in its orbit, he could scarcely have been more disapproving. He would raise his foot under the table and stamp slowly and heavily three times on the rug. Thud, thud, thud.
Bro, I see why it's thumping on the floor.
At this solemn signal, we would hear Margaret leave the kitchen below us and come clumping step by step up the stairs to the dining room door. Margaret, look at that steak. Margaret would step nearer and peer with a shocked look at the platter. The Lord bless and save us, she would say to herself in a low voice. She would then seize the platter and make off with it to better it the best way she could. And Father would gloomily wait and eat a few vegetables and pour out a fresh glass of claret.
Playing like she don't know. Oh, my days.
Father and Margaret were united by the intense interest they both took in cooking. Each understood the other instinctively. They had a complete fellow feeling. Mother's great interest was in babies. She had never been taught how to cook. All she wanted was to keep Father pleased somehow. And if it was too difficult, she didn't always care about even that.
Mama's got her head on straight.
At the table, it was Father who carved the fowl or sliced the roast lamb or beef. I liked to watch him wet the knife and go at it. He had such a fine, easy hand. To a hungry boy, he seemed over-deliberate and exact in his strokes, yet in a moment or two, he had done. And usually, the cooking had been as superb as the carving. Sometimes it was so perfect that Father's face would crinkle with pleasure, and with a wink at us, he'd summon Margaret with his usual three measured thumps. She would appear, clutching her skirts with both hands, and look worried. "What's wanting?" she'd ask. "Margaret," Father would tell her affectionately, "that fricasseed chicken is good."
Good job, Margaret.
Margaret would turn her wrinkled face aside and look down and push the flat of her hand out toward Father. It was the same gesture she used when she said, "Get along with you," to flatterers. She couldn't say that to Father, but she would beam at him and turn and go out and stump back down the dark little stairs without ever a word. Every once in a while, when the household bills were getting too high, a platter with three tiny French chops on it would be placed before Father, and a larger dish full of cold corned beef or Irish stew before Mother. At this sight, we boys would stop talking and become round-eyed and still. Father would look over at Mother's dish to see if it seemed appetizing, for he often said there was nothing better than one of Margaret's stews. The stew usually seemed possible even enough to him, yet not quite what he wanted. He would then ask Mother if she'd have a chop. Mother always said no.
Uh-oh.
They look nice and juicy, Father would urge her, but she would again say she didn't want any and turn her eyes away from the platter. Father would then look around at the rest of us doubtfully. He had four sons, all with appetites. He would clear his throat as though getting ready to offer a chop to each boy in turn, but he usually compromised by saying, "Will anyone else have a chop?" "No, Claire," Mother would quickly and impatiently reply. "They're for you. The rest of us are going to have stew tonight." And she'd smile brightly but a little watchfully around at us boys to be sure we were making no fuss about it when she hurried, while she hurried to get the thing settled. We boys would then earnestly watch Father while he ate the three chops.
He ate three three pork chops all for himself. Hey, man, that's a good supper.
Not that we didn't like Margaret's stew, which was the best in the world, but we regarded dinner as a special occasion, and we often had stew for lunch. If some of us had taken up Father's offer and left him with only one chop or none, I suppose that he would have asked Mother, "Where are the rest of the chops?"
and
been very cross about it when she told him there weren't any more. But his offer of them to us was sincere, though it cost him a struggle. He wanted plenty of food brought for everyone. His instincts were generous, only it made him cross if he suffered for those generous instincts.
Bro, that's a dad.
Long after Margaret died, Father was speaking one night of how good her things had always tasted. "I wish you could hear you," said Mother. She smiled tenderly at the thought of that gallant and dear little figure. "If anybody ever was sure of going to heaven," she added, "I know it was Margaret." This struck Father as a recommendation of the place. He took a sip of cognac and casually, "I'll look her up when I get there. I'll have her take care of me." Mother started to say something, but checked herself. "What's the matter?" he asked. "Well, Claire, dear," said Mother, "Margaret must be in some special part of heaven. She was so good. You'd be very fortunate, Claire, to get to the same part as Margaret."
"Oh!"
"Ha!" Father said, suddenly scowling. "I'll make a devil of a row if I don't."
Wow. He's going to throw a tantrum and get into heaven.
So it's not like he is this individual that is, you just can't please. Yeah. Nothing is ever good enough. It's not like that. But he likes his thing a certain way, but they know how to manage him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what gets you to understand that it's not like they have to walk on pins and needles. It's to the contrary, they know how to manage this person who's actually a very lovable person.
And that's pretty endearing that your family knows you that well and not only will put up with your flaws, but doesn't demand that you conform to their ideal of what.
Right.
Yeah. It's people coming together and loving each other and managing each other.
Right.
And it's a beautiful story, and it's so contrary to what we hear today, where dad's often the butt of the joke or he's domineering and hateful.
Right.
But it speaks to what you talk about, Dr. Shaw, especially in your messages about how men are the leaders of the household, but that doesn't mean that they are authoritarian over their wives.
Right.
That means that God has designed us to complement one another.
Right.
And just like in that story, you know, it's a blessing to be a part of a family together.
Right. Yeah. And this is just one chapter you read, but there are other chapters as well where you see him giving in to or really taking care of his wife or his children, or, you know, the young son gets in trouble or he gets bullied and father shows up to pick up for him. So there are a lot of other stories that when you put the whole thing together, you go, wow.
Yeah.
I want to be a dad like that.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let's leave an Amazon link in the description because, you know, dads are sorely wanted in America right now.
Yes.
And I'd say the world over, like Ryan said, they're either portrayed as abusive or just bumbling and neglectful.
Mm. Yep,
well, ultimately, he is our Heavenly Father.
That's right.
And he is the perfect father. And in some ways, we are a reflection. Even that stories of Clarence Day, Life with Father, is a reflection of the ultimate Heavenly Father.
That's right.
And through Jesus Christ, we can call him Abba Father.
Amen.
So beautiful. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, or if you have questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com and click that link at the bottom of the page to become one of our giving supporters. Become part of the Clearview Today Show family as we seek to impact the nations with the gospel. John, tomorrow's episode, what are we looking for?
Sorry, I was eating cake.
Unbelievable. Every time I hear cake now, my eye's going to twitch a little bit.
I tell you what, let's let tomorrow's episode be a little bit of a surprise. It might be about cake.
It might be about cake. We'll probably
bring some cake in just for tomorrow's episode.
I'm not going to like it, I guarantee you. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.